In Genesis is where you can read about them. But Sarah and Abraham were married. And they were together for many years. The Bible talks about Sarah as she was incredibly beautiful. Like, she was an incredibly good-looking woman, so much so that Abraham and Sarah would pretend that they were brother and sister when they would go into other cities, because when they went into other cities, if they found out that Sarah was Abram's wife, then the Pharaoh or the king would want Abraham killed so that he could have Sarah for himself. So they pretended they were brother and sister. Point being, she was incredibly beautiful. Not only was she incredibly beautiful, she was rich. And the Bible talks about how much they had, that they were very well taken care of. They were a very wealthy couple. So beautiful, wealthy. But there was something in Sarah that was missing. She couldn't have a baby. And she really wanted to have a baby. It says she was barren. And so she goes through life with everything that, you know, it's funny, we look at people and we think, oh, they're beautiful, they've got everything that they want, and we kind of judge the outwards appearance as opposed to what's going on, that every person has something in them that they desire or that they're longing for, they want to be set free from, or every person has something in their heart. It's judging by the outward appearance isn't really worth it. I think that even the more that I've become a pastor, the more that I get to know people, the more I realize, wow, like, I judged this person wrong, or I thought wrong of this person. There, you know, when you get to know their hearts. So Sarah, in her heart, couldn't have a baby. And Abraham would meet with God. He would get words from God. At age 75 was the first time that Abraham got a word from God that said, you're going to have a son. He was 75 years old. You're going to have a son, and from you is going to come many, many nations. From you is going to come many generations. It will be like the number of stars in the sky, the number of sand. If you could count it, that's how many children you're going to have. 75 years old. So you better bet that Abraham would come back to Sarah and be like, Sarah, so I met with God. And he said that we're going to have a ton of kids. And there's Sarah like, okay, you know, Sarah would have been 10 years younger than him, so 65. First time. God shows up again. God shows up three times to Abraham to keep reminding him of the promise. This is what's going to happen. You bet that he went back to Sarah. Like, cool, Abraham. That's awesome. So I want to start in Genesis 16, verse 16. So it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, this was before her name was changed, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, see here, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. I am asking you to have intercourse with my maid. We're talking about this at church on Sunday morning. Anyway, she says, I'm asking you to have intercourse with my maid. And then she says, it may be that I can obtain children by her. And Abram listened and heeded what Sarai said. But I want to point out the word, it may be. It may be that that's how your son will come. You've been talking to me over and over again about how God has promised that this baby is going to come. So it may be, it's been years now, it may be that this is how it'll come. Through Hagar. But maybe is a dangerous place to live. Sarah didn't hear from God. She heard a maybe. Maybe he gave a promise. The promise doesn't seem to be fulfilled. So it may be that if I step out and do it myself, if I step out and figure this out for myself, that this is how the promise will come. But she didn't get a word from God on it. She got a maybe. And I'll skip that part for today, but you go on to read it. And so Hagar has a baby. And it didn't solve the problem. Hagar turns on Sarah, starts kind of mocking her because she has a baby and Sarah does not. She starts mocking Hagar. Sarah gets upset that Hagar is mocking her. She gets mad. She takes it out on Abraham. Then Abraham snaps back, takes it back on Sarah. There's pressure. There's pressure. And there's been pressure since the beginning, since Sarah started to get irritated that the promise wasn't coming. She started to get antsy that the promise wasn't coming, so she became under pressure. And so then when she became under pressure, then she started to have Abraham, she started to work out the promise herself. And then Abraham gets under pressure, then Hagar starts mocking her, then Sarah's under pressure, and then Abraham's under pressure, everyone's under pressure, everyone is feeling pressure. Because they stepped out into the realm of it may be that this is what God wants. It may be that if I do this, this is how it's. And we do this. We do this all the time. That God said this or God promised this. It may be that I have to work it out myself. That's so ridiculous, guys. When I promise my son a bike, I'm going to get you a bike, Judah. I promise you, I'm going to get you a bike. And Judah's like, okay, so mom promised a bike, so it may be that I have to go out and earn it and work for it. And, you know, he really likes to make money, that kid. So he's knocking on doors trying to earn what my promise was, trying to figure out a way to make the promise happen. Right? But what? It may be, if mom promised it, I may have to figure out a way to make it happen. That's not who God is. He's the promise keeper. He doesn't make a promise and then say, figure it out, Wayne. And then God showed me this too. I was praying the other day and he was showing me the picture of an Instapot. Anybody have an Instapot? Okay, first time you tried that Instapot and you turned the valve to let the pressure, did you think you were going to blow something up? I did. Jarrett was like, did you read the instructions? As the steam is blowing everywhere. He's like, keep it away from the window. Make sure you have gloves on when you do it. It's like, I know, Jarrett, but... but I have been known not to think things all the way through. That's where that came from. He was showing me the picture of an Instapot. And that there are many people that are under pressure. You're feeling under pressure. And you're feeling the weight of it. And it's like, I feel like I'm going to explode. And I heard God say to me, if you would turn to me, if you would look to me, if you would rest in me, he said, I'll turn that valve and I'll release the pressure. I'll release the pressure. But a lot of times we get under that pressure because we get into the realm of it may be. I got to make it happen. I've got circumstances. I got to figure it out. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God. So, chapter 17 of Genesis. So Sarah tried the Hagar route. She got into maybe land. Didn't really work out well for her. Chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old. Okay, he was 75 before. When the promise came, 75 years old. Now he's 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, complete. It means... be wholehearted in your walk towards me. And I will make my covenant solemn pledge between me, you, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and said to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. Nor shall your name any longer be Abram, high exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of multitude. For I have made you the father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generations for an everlasting solemn pledge to be a God to you and to your posterity after you. And Abraham said, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, princess, her name shall be. And I will bless her and give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son? So here he's come. He's talking about the promise one more time. This is the promise. This was the promise when you were 75. This is the promise when you were 85. The promise again now when you're 99 years old. And he says it again, and he says, and it will come from Sarah. And then he goes on. Abraham's like, well, what about Ishmael? Like, Ishmael was the son he had with Hagar. He says, I will bless Ishmael. But then he goes on and says, verse 21, but my covenant, my promise and pledge, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. He says, Ishmael will be blessed, he'll be taken care of, but my covenant, the promise, is coming through Isaac, who Sarah will carry. So you got to know that Abraham goes back and is like, Sarah, we're having a baby. It's what God says next time. This time next year, a baby's going to be born. I don't know. And then the next chapter, chapter 18, Abraham is hanging out in a tent and he sees three men walking towards him, and he recognizes that these three men aren't just regular men. These are angels, and the angel of the Lord is walking towards them. So he goes running out towards them and he begs them to come, stay. Since you've come here, come with me. I'm going to prepare some food for you. And he says, I'll get some bread and some meat. And they said, sure, let's do that. So Abraham runs into the tent and he's like, Sarah, cook some bread. I'm going to go butcher a calf. Like, how long did they wait? I don't know how long it takes to butcher anything, but like, he went out, got a calf, butchered it. Sarah's making bread. Like, think about that. Anyway, how long it takes to make bread. So they're waiting. And he prepares a feast, not just a little bit of food. He prepares a ton of food for these men. And he brings it to them. They sit down and they eat. And starting in verse 9 of chapter 18, it says this. So they're all eating and talking and having a good time. And he says, then they said to him, Then the angel said to them, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, they're in the tent. And then he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So here he's back again, telling the promise again. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in their years. She was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself when she heard the Lord's words, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure and delight, my Lord being also old? And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh to herself, saying, shall I really give birth to a child when I'm so old? Is anything too difficult or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son. Then Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, because she was afraid. And the Lord said, oh no, but you did laugh. I laugh at this because she's sitting at the tent listening to what's going on. And she hears the promise, Sarah is going to carry a son. And the Bible says she laughed to herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She didn't say, this is impossible, I'm of old age. She didn't say it out loud. She said it in herself. And the Lord, standing there giving the promise, says, why did Sarah laugh? Because there was something in her heart. See, what you say in your heart, you actually say. Because it becomes who you are. It becomes what you believe. But we have to understand this, though, is that Sarah has gone from her 20s hoping for a baby, to her 30s hoping for a baby, to her 40s hoping for a baby. God, it's getting close. I'm almost at the point of not being able to bear a child anymore. To her 50s, I don't know when menopause kicked in for Sarah, but at some point, it was getting close. At 50, at 60, and you need to know that every milestone all along the way, a piece of her was starting to question the promise. And then Abraham keeps coming back to her, 65 years old she is, and he's like, God showed up, said, we're having a baby. Cool, Abraham. Because I've been believing for a baby since I was 20. Abraham shows up again, she's 70, 75. God said, we're having a baby, right? And I think that leads to the place where she's in her heart, hears those words that she's heard over and over again her whole life. We're having a son. Right. Where it becomes this thing in her heart, this belief in her heart that I don't know if that's actually going to happen. It becomes this wound, and I think that God was showing up and saying, Sarah, why are you laughing in your heart? What's in your heart? I'm not laughing. Oh, but you are. Because then God says right back to her, he says, is anything impossible for me? Is anything too hard for me? Sarah, replace that lie with this. Is anything too hard? Because we started this service with reading Hebrews 11:11, which says she judged him faithful. So somewhere from here to when she delivered the baby, or when she conceived the baby, she judged him faithful. But at this moment in time, we see her standing at the tent laughing. She's not judging him faithful. There's something that happens. And I believe that God showed up to be like, there's something in your heart, Sarah. That maybe the disappointments along the way, you gave up. I was talking to someone the other day who was telling me they were talking to someone who was talking to, no, I'm kidding. I was talking to someone who was telling me a story and said that they were discussing with someone. They said, I just stopped asking God why. I stopped asking God why, and I stopped believing. I just got disappointed and I was believing for something. I just got disappointed. I just stopped. And God shows up like, why? Why'd you stop believing? You see, what went on with Sarah was she was judging the promise. instead of the promiser. She was judging how the promise should look as opposed to who the promiser is. The promise is good. The promise is great. God gives the promise. He gives us the promise to look at. He gives us the promise to know which way to go. He didn't want you just to look at the promise and to judge it. This is how it should look. And we get frustrated, and that's where those questions begin to form in our heart, or that's where we begin to laugh in our heart, because we look at the promise and we say, it hasn't happened yet, or it doesn't look like I think it should look like. I'm disappointed because it's not here yet. And this is what was happening in Sarah's life is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 75, 85, it's not here. And she judges the promise, and we do this. We judge the promise. I thought this was supposed to happen this way. I thought it was supposed to look like it this way. And we get disappointed. But at some point, Sarah turns and begins to judge him faithful. The promise doesn't look like what I think it should, but he gave the promise. So I look to him, and I look to him as faithful. That it doesn't matter what the promise looks like right now, you gave it. You're faithful. And some of us, it's not even faithful we need to judge him. We need to judge him as good. We need to judge him as healer. God, you are good. You gave me this promise and nothing looks like it should, but you're good. And you turn things around for good. So I judge you good. I judge you faithful. I judge you healer. Some of you need to judge him merciful. That you're thinking, you're looking at the promise thinking, I'll never get it because I'm not good enough because of the things that I've done in my life. God says, no, you're merciful. You're loving. You're compassionate. And I think somewhere along there, we got off base with our faith because we began to look at the promise as opposed to, I know. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of the turnarounds. You're faithful. She judged him faithful. Now, I want to show you this verse in the Passion Translation. Hebrews 11:11. Sarah's faith embraced the miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. Look at this. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. The authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise. The authority of her faith didn't rest in the promise. It rested in the one who made the promise. And it was through that place of rest that she was able to conceive. The authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, not the promise. The promise is good. God gives us the promise. But the authority of her faith rested in who he is. In who he is. I'm going to end with this verse. This is in Psalms 25:14. It says, there is a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Rescue me, Lord, for you're my only hero. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God when they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promise. That it's about him. That it's about what he wants to speak to you through the promise. He wants to speak to you a promise. He wants to give you revelation about the promise, but he wants you to sit with him. He wants you to talk with him. It's the ones that sit next to him and talk through it. So there's some, and we talked about this, there'd be a turnaround coming, but God is wanting to talk to you about the issues that you have. He's wanting to talk to you about the place where you're at in your life. He's wanting to give you revelation on where you are right now. You could say, the turnaround's coming, the turnaround's coming. That's great. Don't just hold on to the turnaround, though. Don't just hold on to that. Go to him. God, you said the turnaround is coming. What would you say to me in this now? What's your heart? Because he says he's got revelation. Let me talk to you about this for just a second. When you get a revelation from God, it can come many, many ways. It can come from you sitting and talking with him. It can come from you reading his word. It can come in the middle of worship. It can come by you talking to someone else, by having conversations, suddenly, boom. But when you get revelation, it absolutely changes the way you walk. It changes your thought pattern. It changes everything. When the word of God jumps out at you, it begins to change who you are. Suddenly everything changes. There's been many times where I'll open up the word of God and it's like, oh my gosh. In fact, Len Zoderman said it like this. Revelation is like, you breathe in like that and suddenly everything changes. When you get revelation from God, it changes how you think, like how trauma, when trauma happens to you, when bad trauma comes and it happens, it changes the way you think. It changes how you process things. Revelation does the exact same thing. And it says, there is a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promise, to change the way that you think, to change the way that you're going. But it's not just holding on to the promise, it's looking to the promiser, to the one who made the promise, by judging him faithful, judging him as good, judging him as love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I just pray over every person here. I just declare that revelation, that in the days ahead, that revelation will be open to them as they sit in commune with you, Father, as they begin to turn their hearts and their eyes towards you, Father, that revelation just begins to rise up in them. Of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your love, of your compassion, of your mercy, of your justice towards them, Father. We thank you, God, that you are good. And that you are faithful at every promise. Every promise. Let me go deeper in revelation with you. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that peace surrounds them as they go, Father. I just pray peace that surrounds them as they go. In fact, to any storms, I say, peace be still. Peace be still. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sean?